Previously on the Adventure Zone.
One of our reclaimers, a brave soldier named Lehman Kessler, was murdered in the city of Rockport. He had just managed to locate and retrieve one of the grand relics. He managed to secure passage on this train, loaded his cargo onto the train, so all three of you can board, but one of you will need to be Lehman Kessler, retrieve the relic, and get it back to us any way that you can.
Shh. Be cool for 2 seconds.
Okay. You pull the handle, and your descent starts to slow down. You realize just as you land that you are in a swamp. These dark green leeches begin to come out of the tree.
I'm going to run over to the tree, and I'm going to use rail splitter to fell it so it falls over on top of all three of them.
Okay, awesome. But the tree falls to the side and just completely obliterates the leech that was closest to the base, the one that was actually right next to you, Magnus.
Listen to Rosa Crunch over here.
Are you a Max Fun Drive donor or a Max Fun Drive boner? Time to make up your mind as you enter the Adventure Zone.
Is that the music?
Yeah, you were good work, Travis.
What is that music, by the way? That's beautiful.
I wrote it with my mouth.
It's Travis. The opening theme to the Adventure Zone is just Travis doing a cappella.
Wow.
One leech down. Next in the order is actually the leeches. The two of them are...
The two of them mourn their fallen friend. They lose a turn.
They're about 5 feet apart.
No, Steven!
In front of the felled tree... one of them scooches over towards Magnus, and one of them scooches over toward Merle. Magnus, the leech that has moved over towards you doesn't actually lunge forward and attack. It actually rears back and opens up that hideous sarlacc-like mouth. You see its haunting glottis. Part in the back of its throat, and it tries to spray you with a stinky yellow fluid. And you are going to need to make a dexterity saving throw to prevent.
How do I do that? Just roll a d20?
Roll a d20 and add your dex.
That is 17.
17. Okay. Yeah, you dodge out of the way of this stinky yellow fluid. It lands with
guys,
a splash.
Guys, look out for their glottis.
Merle, the injured one that you hit with the thorn whip, has moved over to you. You are waist deep in the muck. You sank down during your last turn. It does rear back and attacks you. And it gets a 19 versus your AC.
I'm going to use my defender thing.
You are not next to Dad, so you cannot. You have to be within 5 feet.
Do I?
Yes.
Oh,
I am going to...
You basically, in order to use that, Travis, you have to be, like...
Right next to him.
Fighting in melee with the same person.
Sorry, I thought it was someone I could see. It's been a while since we fought anything.
Yeah, because you're not Captain America. You can't, like, chuck your shield in front of them.
I look forward to gaining that ability later on whenever the DM deems it appropriate.
Well, I gave you an instant chop-down tree axe in the last episode, so...
When we started last episode, I was in my head going, I hope Griffin puts me near a tree. Even if it's just, like, walking down a road, there's a tree. Mine just chops it.
Merle, do you have something to prevent this attack? Because you said you were going to do something.
Yeah, I thought it was my turn.
No, it's the leech's turn, and he has bitten you for... Ooh, damn, 9 damage.
Wait, did the leech roll to attack?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't get a chance to evade?
He rolled a 19 against your AC. God, it has been a while since we've done a battle, huh?
What am D&D?
Yeah, he rolled a 19 against your AC. What's your AC?
18.
Yeah, so he hits. He rolled a 9 for the damage. And he doesn't just bite you. He actually
bites you and empties out your bank account.
He bites you. Well,
bites you and steals your identity.
He empties out your blood account a little bit. He latches on there and he gets a good pint and a half of your blood out of you.
That's ridiculous. You don't know how much a pint is. That doesn't make any sense.
Griffin, that's a lot of blood.
That's 3 cups of blood.
Hey, I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
He drank 3 cups of blood?
I can spare it. I'm all right. Now I'm pissed now.
Wait, you can spare it? Did Merle have a lot of extra blood we don't know about?
Just the time expended. Did he just say, well, he's going to be at that for a while. I'm going to go have a lie down. Try to find some little Debbies.
No, he basically just shotgunned Dad. He basically just shotgunned Merle. Okay. I'm going to stick with it, a pint and a half. Suck that right out of you. And when he detaches, he actually looks a little bit hardier than he did just before the
He's grown a beard.
Now it is Taco's turn. Taco Tuesday.
How close are those two homies to each other?
They're about 15 feet away from each other. One is sort of engaged with Magnus, and one
that was the exact right number.
Okay,
I'm gonna cast Thunderwave.
Thunderwave. What is that now?
Well, let me tell you about Thunderwave.
Let me tell you about
this
new heat.
Strikes like Thunderwave.
It's the spell that sounds most like an afternoon drive, shock jock radio show. Thunderwave.
You got Thunderwave and the Leech coming at you live every day at your drive at 5.
You're in the afternoon.
Dad, you're a little too good at that.
A wave of thunderous force sweeps out from me. Shit. Each creature in a 15-foot... I know. Each creature in a 15-foot cube originating from you must make a constitution saving throw. On a failed save, a creature takes 2d8 thunder damage and is pushed 10 feet away. On a successful save, it takes half as much damage and isn't pushed.
Okay, so because they are 15
feet... Oh, it hits them no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get hit. It's just about how much, whether or not they can cut that damage in half.
Okay, so what am I rolling to prevent this?
Constitution.
Okay, let me come up with a fake number, because I didn't come up with Leech Constitution, because frankly, Justin, I just didn't think it was going to come up.
Well... We see behind the curtain, and it's messy back there.
Now, you know what? I'll roll a d6. That's the only fair thing to do. Okay. All right. And I'm just trying to beat your spell casting. Your
yeah.
So it was 13 before. Now it's 14 because you got the plus one.
Correct.
Number staff. Okay. The first one gets an 11. So okay. He's going to take it. The other one crits 20.
Okay, so
he's super constituted.
The first one that you hit, the one closest to you would be the one that just drained, that just shotgunned Merle. Okay. So he's the one, I guess, so who's going to take the damage.
So he takes 11 damage.
Holy shit. Okay, he's bloodied. And some of that blood is Merle, so you know what's up.
And you always round down.
Yeah, the other one is going to take half damage?
Yeah, 5.
That's a good spell.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm pretty partial to it.
Okay. The one that just tried to spray Magnus is not bloodied, but he takes the damage. I was considering making it so that the electricity would actually shock Merle a little bit, but I think we've established this is not water per se, and I don't think that it would
Plus, Griffin, thunder is not electricity. Lightning is electricity.
Well, scientists still have yet to, kind of like global warming, how like nobody's like figured out if that's really a thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
People are still kind of confused about which one is thunder and which one is lightning. are they both pushed?
The full damage one gets pushed 10 feet. The other one is not pushed.
Do you get to choose which direction?
I would think, and this is just like me pulling this out of my ass, but I would think it would be in the line
away
from me to
from
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The leech that you hit for full damage, the one that was having a dad snack, goes flying back 10 feet, lands relatively close to the other leech. You basically just blasted it right next to Magnus on the stump. So you got the two leeches by the stump with Magnus on top of it.
Is the tree close enough to them, Ditto, that they can like that? That Merle and Taco can like grab it and stop sinking.
No, it's, I mean, it's a good 15 feet away.
Oh, okay.
Next in the order is Merle. Merle, you are waist deep in muck, which obviously you are not going to be able to move until you remedy that.
And your arm feels really cold.
Why is that?
That's what happens when you donate blood.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. You haven't had your orange juice.
Yeah. Did I get cookies?
And graham crackers yet? No.
Yeah, the leech bites you and then goes, here you go.
Here you go.
Enjoy,
buddy.
These peanut butter cookies I made.
All right.
I'm a leech. Leech.
I'm going to cast something that I think will be good for all three of us.
Okay.
It's a
that's my nature. I'm going to cast Tensor's Floating Disc.
Are you sure that this sounds like a wizard spell?
I have changed my mind about what I'm going to do.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to say, that sounds like some Harry Potter-ass shit.
It's first level. Okay.
Yeah, but it's wizards.
I shall cast Flame Blade, which is on my list. Which one of them is the most damaged? Which one of the leeches?
They are. There's a bloodied one. They're yeah. They're both relatively in the same location. Is this a second level spell?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Second level evocation. You evoke a fiery blade in your free hand. Travis is going to be so jealous. The blade is similar in size and shape to a scimitar.
Oh, man.
How are you? So just another rule clarification. I'm assuming that you make a melee attack with this flaming scimitar?
Yes, a melee spell attack with the fiery blade.
Yeah, you are not in melee range of these guys. You are sunk half waist deep in the muck, and they are like about 15 feet away from you.
Okay.
I hate to keep salting your game, Daddy, but you got to do...
Come on, Dad. Let's do a D&D podcast. It'll be a blast. I cast Sacred Flame.
Hell yeah. Now, this is a spell you are legally allowed to cast.
Flame-like
spread.
Radiance descends on a creature that you can see within range. I assume I can see.
Okay.
Oh, no, you had your eyes closed when you cast it.
No, you got swamp jizz in your eyes.
I'm the only one you keep giving muck updates to, and it's because I'm short. It's all right.
No, you sank into it.
You sank into the goo in your last
turn. Yeah, but you said waist deep.
Oh, shit, wait.
And my waist
retcon,
is a lot...
Retcon alert. Griffin forgot something. Retcon alert.
Uh-huh.
Taco, you didn't move last turn, did you?
No.
You sank waist deep into the mud as well.
That was the break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, right. So both Taco and Merle, you are right, Dad. I was being unfair. Both of you have sunk into the goo.
Ha-ha! Wait,
guys!
Yeah, you really helped.
Guys,
out.
Bad news! I lost my legs.
They take 1d8 radiant damage.
Just one of them, though, right? It's not in a range.
Yeah, I want to hit the bloody one that gave me the hickey.
The bloody one, and he's making a saving throw.
He makes a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. I actually already gave them a dexterity modifier.
Hmm.
6. Not gonna do it. Plus one for your Extreme Teen Bible.
Wait a minute. Give me an 8.
Well, that's an automatic 0.
Yep. If you don't show up prepared, then you take the 0.
It's no number 2 pencil, eh?
To 1 and then a 1 because I have my Extreme Teen Bible.
Right. Most scientists and mathematicians agree that that is 2.
But it can't be proven.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't add any modifier to it?
Nope.
Okay.
If but only you cast that burning sword spell. That sounded dope.
Yeah, it sounded really cool, you guys.
Oh, whoa, wait. Merle says, eat me.
Okay, to the heavens? to the unreliable
you,
narrator?
DM.
Okay,
he becomes
fantastic.
Momentarily aware of your existence.
Okay. Is that it for your turn?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, you have sank completely.
Back on that popcorn grind, though.
You have sank. Don't. No popcorn.
I'm sorry.
He got that 2 damage off. He got that 1 sunburn on a leech. It was like, time to popcorn out.
Time for a little victory popcorn.
Will I break another rule?
So it's important for you to know that this is not in punishment for your impunity, but you have sank completely into the slime.
Uh-huh.
And you are going to take some poison damage because you can't breathe slime.
You know, I forgot one birthday, Griffin. I'm so sorry.
Go ahead and take 7 poison damage.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
And you are completely submerged in swamp now. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Is the poison damage because he can't breathe liquid, or is it because the swamp itself is dangerous?
It is because he can't breathe poison swamp goo.
It's poison swamp goo. So
it is if you breathe it. If you drink it and you get it in your mouth and you drink it, it's going to hurt.
Okay. Are there fish? Is there wildlife? I mean, is there aquatic life? That's fine.
What do we have to do
to save the wetlands?
I would be more worried about saving the cleric at this point. Next in the order is Magnus Burnsides.
Okay.
You are safe on your stump.
I'm going to run down the felled tree to where I'm coming to get you, Magnus. No, you're wrong. Okay. Whatever I can do to get me closest to where Merle went down.
The tree is not going to be difficult terrain. So you can move down that. It'll take you about 5 feet to get to a point where you can get sort of a straight line to try and run to Merle. But once you get into the swamp, it will be difficult terrain, and you won't have enough movement to get there. So you could try a leap. You could do a leap in loafers. You could try and do some Tarzan shit.
I can leap up to my speed, right?
We should really be writing this stuff down.
The boots of striding and springing, or the leap in loafers, as we have called them, allow you to jump 3 times your normal distance. So we'll say 15 feet.
Cool. Can I jump from the tree then? Like, what? Can I make it to him that way?
That'll you'll have enough movement to do that. You straight up airbud that shit.
Well, before I go.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to tie the rope off to like a branch or something.
What rope?
I got rope. Everybody's got rope. It's in my adventurer's kit.
Okay, but that's going to be your action, homie. If you do that.
Tying a rope is an action. That's level one. This is first day of school shit.
No, yes, but you are taking the time to do something. That would be considered an action. You're pressing a button or flipping a switch.
I don't tie the rope. Okay.
All right.
I just jump over because I love Merle so damn much.
Okay.
And I reach in and pull him out of the goddamn swamp.
Okay. Again, we're going to need to make some checks because we're playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Thrilling adventure hour in here.
You're going to have to make some checks because that's how we play Dungeons & Dragons. You don't just say things and do it because it's a video game. Well, it's a board game. Scientists have yet to agree. So you're going to plunge your hand into the goo where you think you just saw Merle. You reach in. You get a little bit of beard. Do you have a beard? Wow, Dad, you should really be in charge of the Foley work. You do a much better job than I do. Merle, why don't you make a... or Magnus, why don't you make a...
makes everything sound gooshy.
That's true.
I don't like it.
Well, that's sort of like my... what tickles my fancy. Magnus, why don't you pull your cleric out?
Okay. I roll... what's that? A strength?
Strength check. Yeah, we'll do a strength check.
Okay, great. So that was a 15.
15. Yeah, you in one... smooth motion remove the cleric from the swampy goo. You pull him out and plop him back down on, well, not terra firma, it's still swamp, but that he's
terra
okay.
Terra slima,
yeah, sure.
And do I have any move, like that was all my move, right?
That was it, yeah. But you don't sink in.
I don't?
Nope.
Uh-huh.
As long as you move, you don't sink, kids.
Next in the order is the leeches. They both scurry towards the party. You guys are relatively close together. One of them actually goes for Taco, who is half submerged, and one of them goes for Magnus. Magnus, again, one of them rears back and spews its yellow spume at you from its haunting glottis. And you are going to make a dexterity saving throw. Okay.
Saving throw, dex, 2. I got 10.
10, that is insufficient. You are sprayed with fluid. You take 5 damage. And the fluid, as it hits you, almost like magic shell upon a scoop of ice cream, firms up and becomes almost web-like, and you are restrained, meaning you have zero movement until you can successfully make a dexterity saving throw at the end of your turn.
Okay.
The other leech just goes for Taco and tries to chow down. 16.
I will use my defender thing here, though, right?
Yeah, you are close enough for that. Okay. Okay. 8. Probably not going to hit AC on Taco.
12. No. Yeah, 12.
12. Okay. Yeah, you...
Does that increase over with leveling up, or...
We got to get you some new armor. Yes.
Okay. I think it is armor and also your dexterity modifier. As you increase that, your AC also goes up.
Okay. Right. So it's still 12.
Okay. Yeah, so he does not manage to shut down. Taco, it is your turn. You are half submerged. You got a leech right up on you. It is the hardier of the two leeches. The leech that just sprayed Magnus is on death's door. You guys are pretty clumped together at this point.
Can I walk?
You can't. You can try and pull yourself out, but you can't move.
Grab onto my waist belt. Pull yourself up from my groin.
No, it's okay. I'll just levitate. I'm cool, thanks. I levitate.
Okay, is that a thing you can do?
Yes, it's a second level transmutation magic. I just float.
Okay. You float. You
I mean, that's the whole thing.
Float on.
The swamp almost opens up around you like a open mouth and allows you to squoosh out over the swamp, and you are now straight up levitating over.
And for half a second, leech and adventurer alike, I'll turn mouth agape to stare at the glory of floating Taco.
How long does that last, floating Taco?
10 minutes.
Okay. So, yeah, you no longer have to worry about the effects of the swamp around you. You going to do anything else, or is that your turn?
I can't really do anything else. That's my action, and I can't I can't really move.
Okay.
Once I'm floating. The only way I can sort of alter my location at all is by pushing or pulling against a fixed object or surface.
Merle, you're up. You are above ground and a stink. You smell like swamp, but otherwise you're good to go there, Shrek.
All right. How close are the two?
They're both very close. One is right next to you. One is 5 feet away. The one that is right next to you is super bloodied.
I'm going
to
cast Thunder Wave. And yes, I do have it.
Is that a...
So
is that
suck
a,
it, Griffin.
Is that a nature, whatever it is, one of your... It boons of being a nature guy?
It's a... Yeah.
Okay, so you're having basically a dueling banjos, which is appropriate considering the setting, thunder wave off with Taco at this point.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that or not.
Is it? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to insult your game. I mean, if you want to be basically a copycat of Taco, then absolutely go for it. But I thought you were listening when Fleetwood Mac told you to go your own way.
All right, I'm going to try Flame Blade again on the one right in front of me.
Okay.
Wait a minute, what's the difference between Flame Blade and...
Gosh.
Do you have, like, a sword? Something you could poke him with really hard? Just, like, attack it? He's super bloodied.
I'm rolling my own way, bud.
Okay. I mean, I did just use my whole action to save your butt.
Oh, all right. All right, I'll hit Mr. Bloody with my Warhammer.
Thank you.
Happy?
Yes.
Also, I don't know that you can actually cast Flame Blade.
Yeah, I knew you were looking it up, you little...
Yeah, well, it's a good thing I did, because you can't do it. Dad's a Clawizard Bard. Clawizard Bard. All right, so what are you doing, Dad?
All right, I roll what? I'm
what are you doing?
I'm just hitting him with my my Warhammer.
Okay.
16.
Does he add a modifier to that?
Yes, he adds... I think plus 4. It should say next to your Warhammer on your character sheet.
It is plus 4. That's right.
Okay, so 20. That's a hit.
20. And then roll the D8.
Plus 2.
It's 6. Plus 2. That's 8.
You bring your hammer down on the bloodied leech in front of you. And when you pull the hammer back, the leech has a hammer-shaped indent in it and has stopped moving. He is dead as hell.
Yeah. Thanks. I got some of my own blood on me.
I thought I'd feel more excited. That was just kind of sad.
Next in the order is Magnus.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Are you going to move?
Am I going to move?
Yeah.
You should.
Yes.
Okay, what are you doing?
I move 1 foot back.
Okay, you step backwards 1 foot, and you are fine. Next in the order is Magnus.
I'm going to chop him with the rail splitter, two-handed.
Okay. Chopping the other one?
Yeah.
Well, there's one
the
left.
Only living one. Okay.
Yeah. 24.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay, and that's a D10.
Can we call that one Robin Leech?
Yeah, I guess you were within 5 feet because you are restrained, so you can't move.
Yeah. And that is 6 plus 6, 12.
12. Okay, he is bloodied, and he looks like he's ready to embrace the end.
Sweet death. Dexterity saving throw?
Yes, make a dexterity saving throw. You're just trying to beat a 10.
I got... Nope, that's not going to do it. That's a 5.
Yeah. You do not save, and you sink halfway into the slime. It is now the leech's turn. He is actually going to move right back over to you, Magnus, and try and recover a little bit of health. He rolls a 15.
Against my armor class?
Yes.
That is
rolling.
Is not going to hit, and I'm going to use riposte. When creature misses you with melee attack, use reaction and dice to make a melee attack against them. If hit, plus dice to the damage.
Oh, so you roll a d20 and one of your superiority dice.
Correct.
Which is a d6?
Correct.
What is that, superiority dice?
So,
that
17.
That's Travis's new thing. He has a pool of resources called superiority dice. He gets 4 of them per day, and he can spend them to do these maneuvers. So right now he's spending one of them to repose, which means he makes a counterattack, adds the result of the superiority dice to it.
I got a 24?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, and then the damage is, we'll just D8. 4 plus 6 is 10 plus 5, so 15.
Yeah, you straight up like Babe Ruth call the shot and send half of this leech flying way deep into the swamp.
And then eat 12 hot dogs and drink 14
and
beers.
What's really impressive is that you did this without leg movement. You are halfway down in the swamp and you basically like some sort of chopping robot reared back and sent half of this thing flying.
Good upper body, dude.
Yeah,
thanks,
you
bro.
Have solved my Shrek puzzle.
Oh, folks, we
had a lot of fun today.
And now that comes to an end.
Now it comes to an end as we come to you hat in hand for money. We're part of the Maximum Fun Network here at the Adventure Zone. If we're the first show on Max Fun you listen to, you may not know what that means. But it's an entire podcast network of creator-owned programs that aim to make the world a little better, a little funnier, a little better educated, whatever. It varies depending on the show. Our purpose here is just to have a little fun and help spread. My dad is grabbing my wrist. He's putting his hat in my hand.
Okay. What is going on? Oh, my God. Do you need me to come over there? What's going on?
Some sort of photo opportunity, I guess.
Hat in hand.
Hat in hand. MaximumFun.org/donate is where you can go to make a monthly pledge to help support this network. That money's going to go to Max Fun to help grow the network and support all the great hardworking people it has looking for new shows and creating new shows. And it's also going to go to the shows that you choose as the ones you listen to. That pledge is going to be split up between those shows. Your money is going directly to the shows that you love. So, you know, it's not going out in the abyss. It's going straight to whichever shows you select.
We use that money to go on do like live shows and tours and stuff like that, to buy equipment, or even just to like to experiment and start new stuff like the Adventure Zone, which just straight up would not exist if it was not for the support that we've gotten from listeners of My Brother and Me and Sawbones and Bunker Buddies already.
Now, we're not asking you to do this for free, mind you. We've got some great, really exciting pledge gifts for you. We're going to go over to our special correspondent, Dad, to tell us what you can get at those different pledge level donations. Now, this is a pledge per month.
Also, want to say thanks, Dad, for texting us a picture of Justin with his hat in his hand, because I was having trouble picturing it in my mind.
Just sort of like what
Justin even
look
like holding a hat. What does that even mean? But now, thank God, you texted to me, and I can tell.
Dad, what can we get?
All right, $5 a month, you get the exclusive bonus content, which is content that is not only bonus, but exclusive.
Nailed it.
$10 a month.
Wait, well, hold on. Let's expound on that, because that is... that's a lot of stuff, because it's not just stuff that every show on the network puts up an episode every year for the pledge drive, right? So if you like the Adventure Zone, you want more episodes, there is a 45-minute long prequel episode detailing the origins of how Merle, Magnus, and Taco met. And came together.
A backstory too.
And
if you're a fan of Max Fun and you have been for a while, we've got bonus content going back years and years.
Right. Like that's what I was going to say. It is a huge catalog of like, I don't know, like five or so extra My Brother and Me episodes. There is just a ton of stuff on there, and you get access to it at $5 a month.
And the one from 1974 is an all disco episode.
Yeah, that
it's
was
amazing.
Really
it's
cool.
Incredible.
It's now, called Disco. Disco is going to last forever.
The Jesse Thorne story.
Yeah,
he's got $10 per month. You get a drive exclusive tote bag. Now, this is a tote bag that can only be used while you're driving, which is such a great concept. You want to get that plus the exclusive bonus content.
What did he say? What did he say wrong?
You get it during this drive.
It says drive exclusive.
This drive, not. Oh. Exclusive while you're driving.
Okay. Oh, I understand then.
Okay,
$20
again.
A month.
No, he got it. It was perfect.
That's pretty good.
$20 a month. The in-flight power pack, which is a mobile device charger.
You don't sound very sure of yourself about this pledge drive.
Well, let me turn the computer screen. $20 a month is an in-flight power pack. Listen to this, folks. A mobile device charger. You're going to pay $20 for that alone somewhere.
Dad, would you use that for your Zune?
I would use that for my Zune, which I can no longer use. But, you know,
out of
I'll charge
shame.
It up anyway.
Well, because you can't charge the goddamn thing.
That's right. That's why I can't use my Zune. A collapsible water bottle, which seems to be self-defeating, but I'm sure it's really cool.
It expands back, Dad.
And it collapses when you want it to.
Oh, what a cool water bottle.
It uncollapses. Okay, I gotcha. Okay. The antibacterial wipes, in case you have accidentally used bacterial wipes. Also...
I just need to nullify.
It nullifies the bacterial wipes that you have. And pilot wings... because every time you listen to an episode from Max Fun, a pilot gets his wings.
That's true. That's science. At $35 a month, by the way, you can get all that stuff plus some shot glasses with the Max Fun logo on them. So, and there are more donation levels as you go up. There's a $100 a month level called the Inner Circle where you get a gift picked out by a Max Fun host every month. And at $200 a month, you get all that stuff plus free registration for Max Fun Con. 2016, which is a heck of a good time, and that's a heck of a value because those tickets ain't super cheap. So
think about that. For only $200 a month, you get to meet three out of the four of us at Max Fun Con.
If we are there next year, which there is
if
no guarantee for.
If we are there next year, which is possible.
Well, we know I won't be, so there's
almost
one.
Certain. I won't be if you are.
No.
Understood.
But do you know what the number one thing that you get for donating to Maximum Fun is?
A tax write-off.
A feeling of superiority.
Incessant sects from us. Did I say that word right? Sexts?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Sexts.
You get to feel like you're a part of the network. You get to feel like you're not only enjoying the content, but also part of it.
You feel like you are part of the network. You are
a part of the goddamn network. You are lifeblood. You are Gaia, our bloodstream.
You are not only a listener, you are a supporter. You are a part of all. We are all Max Fun.
Google gobble.
You also Google get to gobble. Judge all your friends that listen for free and don't donate. You can be like,
that's
hey,
the
friend.
That's the greatest gift of all.
MaximumFun.org/donate is the address. If you're a new donor, you're going to get a someone to match your pledge, not match your pledge, but they is a challenge donor that'll kick in some extra money when you, a new donor, join up. If you are an existing donor, maybe you picked up some new shows this year, that you that you've been listening to on Max Fun. If you increase your donation to the next highest level, then you're going to get all the gifts. If you're a $20 a month donor right now, you could bump it up to $35, and you're going to get the shot glasses, the power pack, the drive exclusive tote bag, the bonus materials, whatever. If you could only chip in $5 a month, I mean, $5 a month, one meal at McDonald's a month, which you shouldn't be.
Or Hardee's.
Or Hardee's.
Or Arby's. Not
or $20 a month. One Travis McElroy meal at McDonald's a month.
Yeah, right. If you could just kick in a few dollars, that's going to really help us out, because it takes a few of those to get us to get this network funded. And you're going to get a ton of great content to listen to. If you can't donate, times are tight. We get it. But if you could, help us spread the word. Use the MaxFunDrive hashtag and that link, MaximumFun.org/donate, and bully some other people into it.
And then make sure to tell us about it so we can thank you. And tell us about all the people you bullied so we can thank you for bullying them.
Mm-hmm. And so we can bully them because, God, we love bullying.
Oh, I love it so much. There's nothing D&D players love them more than bullying people.
So, thank you all for listening to our second Max Fun Drive special. We hope you've enjoyed getting two consecutive weeks of episodes. It's a grueling pace for us, but we do it. Because we love you, and because we're excited about this drive. We're enthusiastic about this network, and we want you to come be a part of it.
And remember, as you're listening to this, if you're getting this fresh off the podcast presses, there's only a couple days left in the Max Fun Drive that you can get all those awesome pledge gifts for. So don't wait. Go to MaximumFun.org/donate now. As you're listening to this show, go now to donate. And become a Max Fun donor today.
Back to the adventure. I'm actually going to go pee just one last time real quick. The three of you roll into Rockport after escaping the swamp. It takes you a little while. Your tickets... say
they had to drag me part of the way, you know that, right?
They just pushed you. It was like air hockey. They just sort of pushed Taco, just sort of slid him across the top of it.
I got a taco balloon.
You got a good lay of the land when you crash landed, so you knew which direction to head. You made it out of the swamp. It took you a little while. Your tickets for the Rockport Limited say it departs at 10:15. And by the time that you manage to get to Rockport, it is 9:45. So you are cutting it relatively close.
We got plenty of time.
You're also rolling up into Rockport. Magnus, you are covered in a stinky yellow goo that dried up, so it isn't really restricting you anymore, but it is unsightly and unstinkly. Taco, you are just sort of crusty from the waist down. With swampy goo that you've been unable to rinse off your body. Dad, you look like some sort of weird shit monster who is just caked in
and your
in
character
swamp.
In this game.
Yeah, you said dad. Right.
Merle
Everybody
is
else
absolutely
was the character.
Merle, you look like a little just a little shit monster. You have goo caked in your clothes and your beard and your hair. Do you have hair?
I have a little fringe of hair, yes.
A little
and it's
fringe,
caked with
what
shit.
Is it?
Where you least expect it.
What does that mean?
A little fringe of hair? Like
You've got it's sort of like
a tonsure. It's like a tonsure.
It's kind of like how some people get their basketball number carved in their hair, but yeah, for you, yeah. It's just your hair is your basketball number.
Yeah.
And what number is mm-hmm. that?
That would be 26.
26, okay. Thank you for not saying 26.
And listen, not that it's important, but I lost a lot of blood. Don't be worried about me. I'm fine.
Yeah, you guys have not had time to have a short rest. You have had to book it in order to get to this train on time. So you roll into Rockport. It is a city of iron and industry that is built into... What is that?
That's a city on the move.
Okay, so thank you. It is sort of
Rockport,
built
a city on the grow. Welcome to lovely downtown Rockport, city of industry
and of dreams,
home to manufacturers.
Hey, it's me,
creators.
You know, it's me, Bing Crosby. I love every visit.
Scholastic Films presents.
The people here are so alert and kind. And they always make it feel like a second home to Rockport.
You look like a little pile of shit, dwarf.
While visiting Bing. Rockport, don't fail to visit the Museum of Industry. Boop, 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 boop.
The three of you are making the town.
Need this train, we can entertain ourselves,
and we don't
here.
Need the rest. Of, you don't need me.
You've grown.
Oh, share the spotlight.
I am completely irrelevant. The town of Rockport is built into the base of one of the mountains that make up the Teeth. It's huge. This entire range of mountains. Imagine like a bunch of Kilimanjaros just sort of layered, stacked up on top of each other.
Ooh.
And that's kind of, yeah, I mean, it's pretty majestic. It is a majestic mountain range. And the town is built into the base of it and sort of in the back of the town. Really going into the mountains, there's sort of a main avenue leading straight towards it, is the train station. So you guys know basically where you're going. You walk by the Museum of Industry. Some factories, some buildings that are just all smokestacks.
Any truck stops where we can grab a quick shower and some jerky or anything like that?
You can try and find a Sheetz if you want, but you may not have time.
Sheetz.
Right. Yeah.
Character Sheetz.
It's up to you. If you guys want to try and find a place to clean your bodies before you...
I think it would be smart if we're going to try to run a scam that maybe we look halfway...
Well, listen.
Yeah, so you got a half hour. You can try and look around.
Where's the nearest brothel?
Okay, I don't see how that's going to help.
No, because you can get baths at a brothel or an inn or something like that. And I figure the place where they're going to ask the least amount of questions is the brothel.
Is there somebody around us we can ask?
With a lot of eye makeup and like a beauty mark.
There are a lot of people on the street. It is a busy town.
Is there somebody around us who just looks like helpful, or maybe he's wearing armor?
Maybe Tom Baudet. Is Tom Baudet anywhere in this town?
Has anyone left a light on for us?
There's a Ron Baudet who is dressed in a suit of armor, standing in a police watch box. Oh, what? That's not a thing that exists.
Yeah. He's going to point us towards brothel sense.
I like your creativity. Magnus, talk to him. You got the charisma, baby.
Yes, there's a constable looking fellow. What did you say? What was the person's name you were asking about?
Tom Baudet.
Tom Baudet.
He's the guy.
Motel 6. He'll leave the light on. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Tom Baudet is there for some reason. I'm getting into.
Do a good Tom Baudet impression.
Okay. Hi, I'm Tom Baudet. What did you guys need?
Welcome to Rockport. That's really pretty close.
You guys new here? I'm actually part of the tourism industry, part of the welcome committee. So tell me what you need to know.
We were looking for a brothel officer.
What now?
Ignore the shit monster. We're looking for a place where we can bathe in like a real quick hurry.
That's kind of a weird request, but it does seem like you need it. You guys stink.
I heard Rockport was a city that welcomes all kinds.
Yeah, we do, I guess.
Including shit monster.
Kind of begrudgingly. We have a bathatorium.
Okay, great. Where's that?
It's on the outskirts of town. It's about 25 miles out.
Well, that's shitty, Tom Baudet.
That's probably not going to come. You guys can come back to my house if you want. I got like a hose.
Standing
in front of it. Okay.
How far away is your house?
It's right here. You're right in front of it.
Oh,
I was wondering about the hose next to your boots. That explains it.
And he takes you back into his backyard and turns the faucet on the side of the house on. The hose has sprung a leak, and he's like, oh no, the hose doesn't work. That's a shame. You guys are just here. Just come close to the faucet, and he just starts splashing.
He just holds his thumb over it.
I want to make a duct tape roll.
Okay, you put your finger over the holes in the hose and start just sort of blasting each other.
All right, I cast a cantrip of mending on the hose and fix it.
Okay, ooh, that's a thing you can do now.
Just to thank him.
Okay.
Listen,
oh, thanks,
I
want
to do something for you, Tom Bodette from Motel 6 Ads. You gotta check this out.
Oh, wow, my hose. Thanks, dude. My dad gave me this hose before he died.
And he just turned the lights on.
In pee.
In what?
No problem.
Oh, sorry, internet doesn't exist
wizard
yet.
Speech.
Sure, I've heard of this. Okay,
talk
do you guys,
like internet.
Should I hose you guys down, or you want to take turns doing each other? I understand we just met, so you may not trust me to...
Let's all hose each other.
Okay, I got a sprinkler, too. We could have some fun back here. You guys aren't going anywhere, right?
Okay, we spray each other real quick. Time's a-wasting.
Do you have, like, one of those wild...
Oh, those wiggles?
Lego things that spray the water everywhere.
Okay, yeah, you guys have a brief 10-minute sprinkler party with Tom Bodette in his backyard.
Does he have a slip and slide?
He doesn't have a slip and slide. He did
time
just make a... he's got the fixings for mimosas. You guys want some mimosas?
No.
Sorry, Tom Bodette. We've got to get out of here. But we'll see you when we come
mimosas.
Through Rockport again.
Does anybody want to kiss?
Yes. I hug him.
We got to go.
That's good enough. It was really great
and
to meet you guys.
And I whisper in his ear, I'll always love you, Tom Bodette.
I don't know that okay. Well,
you're welcome that we willed you into existence, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to die as soon as you guys leave.
Do you think maybe we can... No, come on. Maybe Tom Bodette's a big fan of the podcast.
As we walk away, he whispers, I'll see you again, Bureau of Balance.
He pulls
his
red
hands
robe.
Together and
he pulls a red
mustache.
Robe over his head and vanishes. Okay, so you are de-stunk. You managed to make it to the ticket counter of the Rockport train station with minutes to spare. And the ticket taker, who looks mysteriously a lot like Tom Bodette, is like...
Don Bodette.
It's like that scene in Wizard of Oz. It's just the same guy.
Come on in!
It is actually Tom Bodette. And he says, oh, weird, you guys are... taking a train, you should have said something. I didn't know. By the way, I didn't catch your guys' names. What do you guys go by? What are your handles?
I'm Lehman Kessler.
Okay, it's nice.
I believe
to...
there's already a ticket for me.
There is, yeah. And we are holding some of your cargo as well. Let me get that. He reaches down underneath the desk and pulls out a shimmering, almost platinum-esque ticket. That he slides through the... There's a window that he is behind with a small gap in it. He slides it through the gap and hands it to you. He says, Mr. Kessler, great. You're really going to... you're going to enjoy the journey. Are these two coming with you?
These are my retainers.
Okay.
This is Bo, and that's Diddly. And
Which one's which?
The short one that has kind of a vague look in his eyes, that's Bo.
Okay, but you've just described neither. They're about the same height, and both of them look relatively vague.
Okay, the one who's pretending to be a wizard is Bo. And
I'm Leon Kessler.
And the
are you guys related?
He spells his with two with an O. He said Leon, and that's my twin brother who works for me.
Lehman. I thought you said Lehman.
Hey, Dom, okay. We gotta go. If you'll excuse us,
I'm really glad that the three of you are the people that you say you are. Because if you were doing some sort of ruse right now,
no.
It would be very, very
no. Goodness, no.
So Lehman, Leon, and Diddly.
My name is Flan Bodette.
Okay, I'm gonna
Magnus gives Taco a thumbs up.
We're going to stop for a second. We're just going to stop for a second, and we're just going to go down the line. I'm going to point at you, and you're going to tell me what your name is. Obviously, Lehman Kessler, he points at you.
That's me.
Merle.
I'm
yep,
Lehman Kessler.
Got that one. Points at Magnus. You are...
Mm-hmm. Yes. Go on.
Leroy. Tell him Leroy Kessler.
No, I'm Diddly Kessler.
You're Diddly. That's what I thought. And you, wizardly-looking fellow?
Justin.
That's deep cover.
Perfect. Okay, Justin, Lehman, and Diddly. Diddly and Justin, you guys have your own tickets, I'm hoping, please.
Oh, that no, look at mine very carefully.
Yes, we do.
Look at the shiny thing in my hand.
Yeah, I gave that to you. It's not
just
psychic paper.
It.
I cast Charm Person on Tom Bodette.
Okay. It's sort of like the only arrow in your quiver when it comes to handling Bodettes.
That phrase has never...
Non-playable
Bodette. No, it's unfortunate. You know, what's funny is that we were able to charm the last Bodette with just charm. This Modette is too wily for me. I'm going to have to use magical charm.
Okay.
Griffin,
how does that work?
Can I make a, I guess it's a perception check to find out if I know if Rockport is just populated by all Tom Bodettes?
It's like House of Wax.
I rolled all a 16.
Yeah, it's all Bodettes.
Okay, it's Bodettes all the way down.
But those Bodettes know how to run a city because this place is immaculate. Okay, so you are casting it. What do I do?
Charm a humanoid. Tom's going to make a wisdom saving throw. I assume that you have already set a wisdom level for Tom Bodette. Motel 6 pitch man.
It's got to be a 6.
It actually is a 6, so good luck.
I put him on wait, don't tell me. He's pretty intelligent.
I'm trying to roll a 14, right? Is that what I'm trying to beat?
Yeah.
Okay. Ah, shit, I rolled a 6. That's 12. Not going to do it. He's charmed. Hey.
What is
do
up?
You,
what can I do for you guys?
You guys want a kiss?
Tickets. My retainers need
I already
tickets.
Gave you mine, and they seem to have their own already.
Okay.
We just need the cargo, and then we're going to get on the plane. Or train.
Can I say something? And this might sound weird, but I think the three of you are exactly who you're telling me you are. And I don't know. Again, it seems like a weird thing to say, but I am just so charmed by you.
Nothing weird there.
No, cool, it's all normal.
By the way, we got a sleeper car, right?
You do, yeah, and a seat in the passenger train as well. So,
comp us some snacks.
Okay, he slides some Melbitos, just unpackaged. Through the glass, he's like, I was going to have these as a lunchtime treat, but it seems
I
like
I want to use detect magic to see if it's magic Melba.
Isn't all Melba toast pretty fucking magical to begin with?
Can I roll to see if I get horrifically depressed by the idea that Tom Odette considers Melba toast to be a fun snack?
Well, no, because it's transformative. You can do anything with it. What do you got? You can. I'm afraid to say food stuff now because Dad has me fucking paranoid that every time I say a food thing, he'll be like, "Oh, well, that goes on."
Good. You should be Dungeon Master.
It's just I didn't expect one of you to be so vigilant for Tex-Mex.
Well, just get used to it.
That's actually Dad in real life. You cannot drive past a Tex-Mex place. He's like, hey,
whoa, slow down.
He says, he pops open the back door of his ticket booth and says, you guys are actually the last ones to board, so if you want, I can walk you to the platform.
And then go home and slowly die.
Go home to my Bodette wife. My Bodette kids.
Bernadette Bodette.
This is the weirdest episode ever.
Yep.
Let's get on the train.
Starts to walk you through the train station.
We need the cargo.
Yes, Lehman, what do you what takes you to Neverwinter today?
A combination of business and pleasure.
Oh, biz pleasure, huh? I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Pleasness, huh?
Yeah. I got to keep it pretty close to the vest. You understand, don't you, Tom?
Now, Lehman, we've already received your cargo, and we have it locked away in the cargo car.
Good.
So that's not going to be an issue. That's going to get there safe and sound. It was rated as a high priority item, and so it's kind of protocol for me to walk our VIP passengers through the security process.
Yeah,
if you'll just come with me. He takes you into the station. It is it's a cavern, right? It's carved into the foot of the teeth, one of the mountains in the teeth. But it's not as drab as you would expect a cave to be. It's actually very well lit with some fountains and
a newsstand
kiosk inside. And in the middle of this the entryway into the station is one of the cargo cars of this train that is non-operational. It's not on a track. It's just sort of up on a pedestal. And Bodette walks you over to the car and pops open the caboose door and is like, "Come on in, I'll show you around."
Okay.
This is the cargo car that is on all of our trains. It'll be on the Rockport Limited when you take it to Neverwinter. As you can see, there's no windows in the car. Keeps it very secure from marauders. Most of the line runs through the mountains, so we're not especially worried about train jumpers, if you will.
Have you had any incidents recently?
Never. We have never lost a piece of cargo. We have never never lost anything that we have locked away. And that is because, he says, of this thing. And he points to the middle of the car is a 5x5 foot onyx cube.
An onyx cube. That sounds so cool.
Onyx cube that is built into the floor of this train. He says, this is a crypt safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it
a crypt
is,
keeper, if you will.
If you want to be that way, if you want to be that guy, sure.
If you want to be like that.
This is indestructible. Nobody's going to be smashing into a crypt safe anyway, anytime soon.
May I test also, that?
If you want, but don't use a weapon that you like to do it.
Never mind.
Okay. Yes, don't. What makes it special is it's time locked, meaning only a Rockport Limited can open it with 1 hour of sustained physical contact.
Engineer.
So it's not like even if a robber somehow did manage to get on board, or if somebody managed to pass our screening process and get on board a train, they are not going to be able to pop this thing open. They would need somebody who works here to do so, and they would need to stand there for an hour, which just simply would not happen. It is the safest way to get your shit from point A to point B.
Does that really slow down the luggage unloading process?
By about an hour, yes. So in that sense, it's the train makes a 200-mile journey in 4 hours, and you would be hard-pressed to find a form of transportation that is going to be that expedient in the world. So,
well, Tom, I'm sure, I mean, since I've done this many times before, you have some kind of backdoor method for me to check just to make sure that my my merchandise is safe. So,
well, it's already loaded. It's loaded onto the actual train, and once we put it in the crypt safe, it actually becomes the property of the Rockport Limited until the train has made its reaches final destination. So that unfortunately will not be possible, but believe me, it is in not only good hands, the best hands.
Hmm. Okay. Sounds great.
It doesn't sound good at all. It's a setup or something. This is bad.
I heard all of that.
Shh, Tom, you're still charmed.
You're charmed.
Put your fingers in your ears.
And can I say something? I loved it. I love your caution. And I love just how suspicious you're all being.
Now, listen, Tom, when we're all done and we're completely done with you,
we will want kiss. You to, we sorry?
Want you, no, we want you to step in front of the next train that is coming by, okay?
No!
Is that okay?
Oh, my God.
If you don't mind, if you don't mind doing that for us.
Just step.
No, we can't kill Tom Baudet.
Need me to
you'll love it. It is a once.
What
is
got little Baudet's at home.
What happens when I do it?
It's a once in a lifetime experience.
No, Merle, you're a cleric. You're dead. Why is our dad bringing a kill switch? Beloved picture of Tom Baudet. We can't kill Tom Baudet.
I have a feeling.
Okay. You hear from outside the train, all aboard. And Tom Baudet goes, well, time to go, I guess. I'll show
all right,
you guys.
All right, wait. Let me clarify. And... Let me clarify.
Yeah.
Not a moving train. Just step in front of a train, wave goodbye, and then step off the tracks.
Okay, that seems weird. Weirder even than. But let's get you guys situated.
This is gonna come back and bite us in the ass. I know it.
Not killing Tom Baudet.
You'll see.
Tom Baudet, hold on, wait, rearrange the letters. Voldemort, what?
So real quick, before you go, we just want to remind you, before Max Fun Drive ends, which is just in a couple of days, this is your opportunity to go to MaximumFun.org/donate, choose a level of donation you're able to do, $5, $10, $20, $35, $100, or $200, get the awesome pledge gifts, gifts like all the exclusive bonus content, the drive exclusive tote bag, the in-flight survival kit, all of that awesome, awesome stuff. Go to MaximumFun.org/donate. Choose the shows you listen to. Support the network. Become a member of MaximumFun.org. Feel superior. Tell your friends how much better than them you are now because you have become a contributing member of society. You're no longer...
And what the fuck have they ever done?
Yeah.
And they're nothing compared to you.
I feel like we haven't hit this enough. If you don't log on to make a pledge gift right now and say that you listen to The Adventure Zone, then our daddy won't get any money.
I'll never get to go to Max Fun Con.
And we really want our daddy to get some money. So please help our daddy
I
get
need
some money.
Money.
For just pennies a day, you could give our daddy some money.
You could keep
Look
our
at
daddy
his big
from,
eyes.
Keep our daddy from killing Tom Baudet, please. Give our daddy some money.
For just pennies a day, you could keep our dad from murdering Tom Baudet.
We will spare. You either donate... or Tom Baudet dies.
Make sure to pass this along.
We should
Tom
make
Baudet.
It. We should make it clear
as a vested interest.
We should make it clear, Federal Bureau of Investigation, that we're talking about the fantasy Tom Baudet that we just invented in the game. In no way is this a confession letter.
Well, okay.
Wait a minute. Why did we keep a beloved character hostage? That's the Adventure Zone Max Fun Drive
there
2016.
You go.
Okay, Taco.
Oh, no.
No.
Not Taco.
Taco is dangling over a pit of sharks.
No, let me tell you who it needs to be. The much-beloved Davenport.
Davenport.
No, Davenport. Yeah. Everybody loves Davenport.
Before we get off the subject, we want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for enjoying our show, hopefully, and all the other wonderful Maximum Fun shows. If you are a member, you can up your donation, or even better... Oh, or equally as good, I would say, is encourage your friends, encourage other people you know who listen, or just people on Facebook and Twitter and say, hey, I'm a supporter of this and you should be too. If you're not a supporter, there's no better time of the year to become a Max Fun donor than right now. So you get all the awesome stuff, the feeling of superiority and our eternal gratitude. So go to MaximumFun.org/donate, then get on Facebook and Twitter, tell us about it so we can thank you. And, you know, just in advance, we'll go ahead and say now, thank you. Thank you for becoming a donor, and thank you for listening. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. Seriously, for real, though, if we're being serious, hey, thanks.
I'm just McElroy, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Maybe.
Maybe.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist-owned.
Listener-supported.
Hey everybody, I'm Emily.
And I'm Lisa.
We co-host Baby Geniuses every other Monday on Maximum Fun.
We interview comedians, musicians, cartoonists, circus clowns, and experts in the field of...
Vacations, the afterlife, cool, recipes, self-improvement, fashion, candy, beach boys, girls, turtles, pot twists, women dating, fitness, presidents, hair removal, conflict resolution, Santa, meditation, babies, modern dinosaurs, bullying, crop circles, the Beatles, middle-aged men, experts, teens, life hacking, rhyming, baby talk, personal organization, the name Dexter, Frasier, extreme eating, groceries, being a best friend, movement, jam, art education, America's funniest home videos, stockbroking, spooky stories, genealogy, riddles, Pinterest, IT, magic, revenge, mothering, dogs, ayahuasca, Hollywood legends, street racing, fitting in, celebrity sex, the occult, personal training, the ocean, Dennis the Menace, modern poetry, sugar gliders, Jimmy Buffett, pranks, the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, Mountain Dew, theme park safety, dinner parties, butterflies, raccoons, pasta shaves, and Bob Dylan. Join us every other Monday!
Yay!